Are you thankful for the cross today? Are you thankful for mercy today? Is there anyone thankful that you didn't receive what you deserved, but instead you have a God that is abundant in mercy, abundant in grace? Hallelujah. 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 It's so good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. We have grown to fall in love with Heaven View. This is our third trip down here to North Carolina, and this particular week, we were able to hang out with you more than normal. So we crashed the leadership party on Tuesday, and our soul was fed then, and then Wednesday night, and then Saturday, the passion and the love of Brother Jamal, Sister Kim, and parents, and it's fed my soul. It's been good. We love your pastor and his family. Don't tell him I said this. I don't want it to go to his head, but I'm a really big Harrison Linder fan. It'll just be our secret, all right? Have you ever wondered why? For a living, I solve business puzzles, processes that are ineffective and aren't working, and roles and responsibilities that aren't meshing. That's the jigsaw puzzle that I do for a living, and I come to a place like Heaven View, and you've got mature saints that love the Lord, called people involved, a Sunday school program that is top-notch, music that is just wonderful. You ever wonder why? I mean, we honor our leadership and thankful, right? Great. Anyone grateful for the good things we have here? If I lived anywhere in driving distance, this would be my church home. But still, there's this nagging question of why. Why has God been so good to us? If you need a place to heal, there's Heaven View. If you need the welcoming arms of brothers and sisters who will love you for you and help you become what God has made you be, you have Heaven View. Amen. Why? Why is there this place? And this is what I've come to discover about the Lord, that He brings us, like Scripture says, from glory to glory. And if He has done these great things and given us these wonderful and precious gifts, it is to take us someplace new. Let me put it this way. He didn't give us what He's given us so that we can pause and rest and take our leisure. He's given what He's given us because He has a mission for us to accomplish, a place for us to go, and souls for us to reach. Hallelujah. I'd like to draw your attention today in the Word of the Lord to the book of Luke. Chapter 9, and as I look at this week and what I've been exposed to of your staff, your pastor, the ministry here, I am convinced that the word that the Lord dropped in my spirit several weeks ago is for this time and for this church. Amen. Luke chapter 9, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him, somebody help me, deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he will gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? I want to preach to you this thought, but I don't want to die. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our human nature gets in our way. Would you agree? Yeah. Has anyone ever struggled with you? Yeah. Heard that expression? I am my own worst. Yeah. All right. We tend to want revival at a discount. I'm not preaching about heaven to you. I'm just saying, in general, I'm sure you guys never have any issues or problems or struggles or anything else. But in some of the other places that I've been to, let's pick on them. They're not here to defend themselves. But you realize, right, that anointing cannot be found at a thrift store. Why? Why do we go through what we go through? Why do we struggle with what we struggle with? Why do we toil and labor and go through the tribulations and the trial? I'm going to tell you why we go through what we go through today. It is so that God can release anointing in your life. The Holy Ghost has not been given to us just so that we feel good. The Holy Ghost has been given to us so that every chain we run across is broken. So that every prison we come up against, the doors are open. God has given us an anointing that breaks every yoke. But that anointing is not cheap, and it does not come at a discount. The cross that the choir sang about was not just some nice picture from history. It was a sacrifice. The crown of thorns caused blood to shed. The spear in the side. Oh, come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. It's not just blood of any man, but it was precious blood. It was spotless blood. It was a perfect sacrifice that was given. That was not easy. Abraham had to die to himself while he waited for a promised son. Isaac had to die to himself when he dug a well. And then another one. And then another one. He kept digging until Rehoboth came. Rehoboth means God made room for me. He had to die to himself until God made room for him. Joseph had to die to himself, being betrayed by his brethren. Sold as a slave, unjustly imprisoned, and then forgotten about by the people he helped. Moses had to die to himself, tending sheep on the backside of a desert. Why? Why do I have to go through what I'm going through? Why do I have to struggle with what I'm struggling with? Why do I have to toil in these tribulations? Why? Joshua had to die to himself, dealing with his insecurities. Could you imagine being the guy to lead the children of Israel after Moses? No wonder the Lord said, listen, just be strong and courageous. You got this. I'm with you. Just like I was with you. He had to tell them that over and over. And we think that we're a mess. We think that we're uniquely disqualified from God using. You know, those perfect people in the Bible, they have it going on, but not me. I beg to differ. Caleb had to die to himself. He had to walk around for 40 years because of other people's lack of faith. Samuel had to die to himself serving a backslidden judge. David had to die to himself amongst other times, while his son Absalom tried to tear apart his kingdom. Elijah died to himself during a fit of depression when God spoke to him in a still, small voice. Jeremiah had to die to himself, wanting to give up, wanting to give in, everybody against him. Anybody know that song? Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll eat some worms. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? Or is I'm just a crazy guy behind the pole? Okay, you got a couple. All right. Whew. I was getting nervous. Ready to quit, he said. I'm done speaking of his name. But the word of the Lord was in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. Just because we struggle does not mean that we're disqualified. Just because we're tired doesn't mean that we won't possess the promise of God. We look in the New Testament and we see that John the Baptist had to die to himself. He conveyed that very poignant phrase of he must increase, but I must decrease. Too often times we want him to increase, but we don't want to decrease. Peter had to die to himself when God decided to operate outside of his box. Prejudice and bigotry in humanity has been with us as long as we've been in existence. And Peter was a bigot and he was prejudiced. He didn't want God to touch them Samaritans and, oh, Lord have mercy, Gentiles too. Anybody like me, a Gentile, you're thankful the Lord didn't stop? Yeah. But when God so loved the world, it included me and it included you. I'm so thankful. Oh, my. Paul had to die to himself, accepting the plan of God, knowing that the end of the journey was going to take him to his death. And he said, none of these things move me. Jesus, the humanity, had to die to the will of the divinity in Gethsemane when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. But I don't want to die. There's something inside me that does not want to die. Maybe you're like me today. Jesus answered them and said in John chapter 12, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. We want God's glory, right? We want the anointing. Right? We want the delivering power of God.
That's right?
Right? I'll be like one of them old time preachers, Brother Linder. I thought I came to an apostolic church. But I don't want to die. He says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if I die, if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life will lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, him my Father will honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Why? Father, save me from this hour. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, sir, but this is the reason why I'm here. I am in this trial to showcase the power of God. We want the glory of God to be released in our families, in our city, and in our life, but glory is only released when our flesh is submitted to the will of the Spirit. Nevertheless, Jesus said, I don't want to drink from this cup. I don't want to die, but nevertheless, we want things to change in our life. We need to have a nevertheless in our spirit. We want things to change in our home. We need a nevertheless in our spirit. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. Instead of asking God to save me from my trouble, maybe I need to ask Him to have glory through my trouble. I remember a lady that I pastored in Athens, Sister Sonia, sweet lady. And she found out she had cancer. That's tough stuff right there. And I found out she wanted to talk to me. Pastor, I feel because I don't have the words to comfort. I was ill-equipped because how do you answer that question of why? I'm a pastor, and she's looking to me for help, and I'm going through all these things in my mind, and she sits down in the office, and as we're talking, she says, Pastor, I just have a question for you. And I thought, oh, Lord, here it comes. She said, Pastor, do you think God can get glory from what I'm going through? Wow. Wow. Wasn't expecting that one. Do you think God can use me even though I have cancer? Wow. My word. The Lord, it hit me so hard that I'm thinking the worst. And God says, no, I've got a servant that wants me to be glorified despite what they're going through. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't get saved from the fire. They got saved through the fire. We wouldn't have the testimony we have now if they would have been released from the fire, but God saved them through the fire. What kind of testimony would it have been if God would have saved Daniel from the lion's den? But instead, He saved him through the lion's den. But I don't want to die. Elisha was steadfast while his mentor and spiritual leader was taken from him, shipwrecked and clinging to life. Paul remained steadfast to follow the purpose of God and ended up seeing revival in Malta. Wasn't on his radar, wasn't on his schedule, if you will. But God had a plan. And so the Lord knew all along and brought that shipwreck to Malta because there were servants there ready to receive the gospel. God will do whatever He has to do and take His servants wherever He has to take them to go through whatever they have to go through in order for some crazy Ethiopian dude reading the script that he doesn't understand saying, I need to know about this. I need to know about this. What does this mean? All of a sudden, this guy that was in one place gets translated to another because God will spend 1,000 preachers to reap the harvest of one hungry soul. But I don't want to die. Again, I'll remind you of what we read just a moment ago. Verily, 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 I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. When there are people willing to do whatever is necessary to see God's will manifest in their life, we're not talking about just a little bit of fruit. As Brother Johns might preach, we're talking about a net breaking and boat sinking kind of a revival. A kind of revival that we don't have room within our ability to manage. The kind of revival that is beyond our walls and beyond the border of our cities, beyond the border of our... Oh, come on, somebody. When there is somebody willing to submit themselves to the purpose of God without restraint, there's no telling what God will do. Jeremiah chapter 18, the word of the Lord came to the prophet and said, come and go with me down to the potter's house, and I'm going to show you something. I'm going to cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work upon the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, and so he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. I have a theology, it's a pet theology of mine, and if I am wrong, your pastor will correct it. Of that I have no doubt. But I do not believe, my theology does not believe in a God of second chances. I don't believe in a God of second chances. I believe in a God of one more time. I don't even know the last, how long ago I used up my second chance. I can't even tell you the mistake that it was when I used up my second chance. And I don't even know what chance I am on right now. But I can promise you I'm not so good that it's only a second chance. You see, the just man doesn't just fall twice. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall. But know this, that when I fall, I shall. I shall arise. I shall. As long as you're willing to be molded by the hand of the potter, he'll make you again. It may not be the first time. It may not be the second time. If you're anything like me, you don't always get the lesson the first couple times through. I like a good deal, brother. I love it when the Lord, when there's a good deal. I mean, you can pay full price, but I like it when you get things on sale. And free is my favorite. And the thing that I've discovered about God is he gives free retakes. If I don't get a passing grade the first time on the test, he'll let me take it again and again and again and again. And again, it's a stubborn spot in this vessel. I got to work him out. Again, y'all don't have any idea what I'm talking about, I'm sure. What Paul's saying in Romans chapter 9, hath not the potter power over the clay? Make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God is willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with such long suffering, the vessels of wrath, and that he might make it known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Vessels that he made for a purpose. Why didn't they receive it? Because the works of the law, they stumbled at a stumbling stone. They stumbled with a Savior that needed to die. They stumbled at the deity being willing to allow humanity to go through Gethsemane. They stumbled. That's the problem. There's a stumbling block. We want revival. We want anointing in our life. We want to see breakthrough in our home. But we've got to be willing to pay the price and deny ourselves. God won't showcase his power as long as Paul is in the way.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
when we try to do things our way, we make a mess. My theme verse, Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, for every purpose, there is time and there is judgment. Therefore, great is the misery of a man. Brother, why would I be miserable if there's a time, a purpose for everything? Why would I be miserable? Where is the misery in that? I'll tell you, the misery in it is when the Lord gives me a purpose and I think I've got to figure out the when and the how. But when I let God tell me what, when I let him tell me when, and when I let him show me how, that is when the glory of God is released. When I'm willing to get out of God's way, when I'm willing to not tell God how, not tell God when, but just let him lead me and guide me and show me and teach me, not my way, but his way. Not my will, but his will. I need to be willing to let this flesh get out of the way.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Because for God's glory to manifest, my glory has to not even be present. Now, I want to go back to that question I asked at the very beginning. Why? Why? Why has God given us so many wonderful gifts? Because he wants to do amazing things through us. He wants to do mind-blowing things. He wants to do the kind of stuff that they write about in the book of Acts.
That's right.
I thought I was in an apostolic church. Anybody believe that God has a purpose for this church? Anybody with me believe that God has a purpose for your pain? That there's a reason why you're in a struggle? That the wilderness is just not an expedition into an unknown, but there is a promise at the end of your challenge and your struggle and your trial. There's a promise at the end of the wilderness. Anybody believe with me that God has a design and a plan through it all? If you're struggling to understand that, let me reassure you that God knows exactly where you're at and exactly what you're going through. Because there is no temptation taking us but such as common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. I'm not going through anything unique or anything special. I'm going through struggle and trial and temptations and I'm going through tribulations, but God is faithful. With my trial and will with my temptation also make a way of escape. He does not wait for me to get in the middle of my mess to figure out what to do. But as I understand the scripture, there's a couple of witnesses that identify that there is a lamb that was slain. Hello, somebody? After humanity made a mess out of everything and God had to figure out, well, what do I do with this? Hello? But there was a lamb that was slain from the very, from, hello, not the beginning, but before, from the very foundation of the world. So before there was an Adam and Eve to make a mess, and before there was a snake to beguile Eve, before there was sin introduced in the picture, before there was a problem to solve, there was already an answer. Already an answer to my need before I had a need. Whatever you're going through, there's already an answer. There's already a Savior. Would you stand with me in this place today? I don't want to die. I don't like the difficulties and the struggles and the toils. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. But how did Jesus say? What was it he said? Something along the lines of, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to ask God to save me from it? Am I supposed to ask God to take me out of the fiery furnace? Am I supposed to ask God to prevent the lion's den? Am I supposed to ask God to save me from this? No. Or actually, let me sound King James for a minute. Nay. But this is the reason why I have come. You came so that the God of the universe could showcase his power above depression. So that God could show that he was stronger than addiction. To give a testimony of somebody that overcomes a troubled home. Somebody that has all the reasons why they should not succeed, but yet they still succeed. Every reason to fail, but somehow they overcome. That is why we go through what we go through, to bring us to a place where we in our flesh have little strength, little hope, little ability. It's not about me. I must decrease so that he can increase. To the church in Philadelphia in Revelations, the Lord said, I've set before you an open door. Nobody, no man can open it but me. No man can shut it but me. Why? Why, Heaven View, is there such an open door? If you look at that passage of scripture, it gives us clues. The clue is that because when you only had a little strength, When you only had a little strength, you didn't deny him. When you only had a little strength, you still held on to the power in his name. The heartbeat, the sense that I receive from this place is that you have crossed a threshold into another dimension, into a level of anointing. A level of a, that's like a book of Acts. It's an anointing that's been wonderful in the past, but it's an anointing. If I could put it this way, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's not the kind of anointing that's usual or normal or just apostolic. But God wants to set a direction that is beyond anything that we could understand with our own mind. God is doing it in this place. The pastor told us what we need to do. We need to get to that place. It's a place of death. We call it an altar. A place where I say, not my will, but thy will. A place where we give ourselves, we lay ourselves upon an altar. Would you come? Would you come to this place of repentance? Would you come? Would you come to this place of surrender? Would you come to this place where destinies are forged? Would you come to this place and with me say, not my will? Even though I don't want to die, I know it's the way to release the anointing in my life. Though I don't want to die, I know it's the place to release the purpose in my life. Here I am, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Here I am, Jesus. Jesus.